All right, once in a while, y'all know I bring out this big old Costco bin. You can try and guess what's in it. Any guesses today what's in this thing?
Baby clothes.
It does say baby clothes. This is the one I could find that we used in our move for baby clothes. No baby clothes in this one. Any other guesses?
A vine. Mayonnaise.
A mayonnaise, a vine.
Fruit.
Yeah, a branch that is fully dead. So if you've been in our house, you know there's that like right in the kind of corner, there's that bush thing that's kind of dead. But then you water it a lot and it produces like another branch that's green. It produces flowers. Well, a lot of it around it, yeah, it's dead. You want to hold that for us? Nope. So you know what I did? I took the shears and I went off. I just cut it right off there. And this thing, if you can see inside of it, this thing is fully dead. You know what I'm gonna do with this?
Burn it.
Yeah, burn it. I'm gonna throw it away, right? So there's no use for that. And Jesus says, if you disconnect from me, you're like that branch that's fully dead and there's literally no use for it. It was still on the plant, on the bush, but it was dead and there was nothing left. And Jesus says, time to cut that thing off and throw it away and burn it up so that it can actually produce more branches and more fruit, right? So Jesus is gonna cut that off. So let's look at verse 5 in here. We'll read through it together. So John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, yes, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, how many of y'all want to produce much fruit? When you think about your life, because you all are very significant in the kingdom of God and you have great purpose, when you think about your life, like when you're at the end, like what do you want your life to have counted for? What are the things that come out of your heart that, man, I would wanted to have done that with God. I would want to have made that type of impact either in my family or in with my friends or in my vocation or in my neighborhood. Like what comes out of your heart when you hear that question? And I would say that's some of that lasting fruit that Jesus wants to produce through your life, right? Because we got people in the medical field. We got people, you know, doing film. A couple people here doing film. We got people who are going to law enforcement. People are going to go into forestry. People who are doing all types of different things, right? Oh, yeah. Over here, I got stay-at-home moms. She's like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Don't forget. We got teachers. We got people in higher ed. We got people all over the place, right? In manufacturing, different things. What comes out of your heart when you say, man, at the end of your life, what's your destiny with that? What do you want it to look like? And I would say that's the Spirit of God stirring in you. What's that lasting fruit where you bring the kingdom of God to earth and bring transformation and impact to that area that's in your heart? And so you got one life, and that's it. And we got to make a count, and we make a count by remaining in Jesus with him. So he says, you got to remain in him, and he'll remain in you. What's really powerful about that is it's all dependent on us. He says, if you remain in me, I'll remain in you. But if we detach from him, he's not able to remain in us because we've detached from him. But when we plug into him, he says, I'll remain in you. That's why we emphasize the secret place so much here at Enrich. That's the place where you have your time with Jesus when you go and you be with him. So we learn to read his word and to be in his word. Learn to cultivate his presence. Learn to worship him on our own. Cultivate that practice of fasting. So this is that secret place. And when we go deeper in the secret place, it puts down our roots deeper in him and we're plugged in. And then we grow, produce more and more fruit. The other thing that keeps us plugged in is obedience. How many of y'all have ever been disobedient to Jesus? He's asked me to do with your life, right? And most of us say, we've messed up. We've done our own thing, gone our own way. That's one of the things that can disconnect us from him. But when we remain connected through obedience, walking in obedience, what he wants us to do with our lives according to his word, that keeps us plugged in, remaining in him. And so for me, my secret place, what I usually do is I just get up early in the morning before the kids are up, and I get my Bible, and I'm usually out in the living room because that's where no one is early in the morning. And I usually walk and pray because if I'm like tired, if I sit down, I don't know how that's going to go. Might see the kids ate or whatever. But I'm walking and I'm praying and I'm reading the word. I'll throw on some worship music. And so for me, that's where my space is. I go and be with Jesus. When my kids were younger and I was on daddy duty, you know what I'd do? I'd hold my kids and I would do the same thing. I would just carry them back and forth and then they would learn how to hear daddy talking with Jesus and what that looks like. So I just involve my kids in it if they're home with me. When they get, now they're a little bit older, they kind of do their own thing, but sometimes they'll come and hang out. But they're seeing, and you know what my daughter said? And I want to say it's just for the dads here, people who are going to be dads in the future. This is what my daughter said to me recently. She said, "Daddy, I want to marry someone like you who prays a lot." And I was like, oh, she's seeing the example that me, I just have this secret place and I just seek Jesus. And she's like, oh, that's the example my daddy's supposed to be like. So dads, I just want to encourage you that your kids are going to watch you. And when they watch you, they're going to want to find someone just like you. So I just want to encourage you, you're great dads, and just keep it up. It's really worth it. The hard work is worth it. Same thing for moms, but my daughter just said it to me because I'm a dad. So same thing for moms. So your consistency over time with Jesus will produce transformation. So how you produce fruit is you remain in him. And it's worth the effort, it's worth it is to fight to remain in him. So what does the kingdom fruit look like? First, it's your intimacy with Jesus. I mean, as I've grown more in Jesus, I mean, nothing else really brings fulfillment like having his joy, like having his presence, having his love. Like, I used to play a lot of video games back in the day, like too much video games. I don't play them anymore for like those types of reasons. But like, that was my thing. It gave me, you know, fun, purpose, all these things. But now it's like, no, Jesus is it. Like, the deeper we go with him, the more we find fulfillment in him. How many of y'all know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you remain in Jesus, this is the fruit that will be produced in your heart. Love will continue to grow. And last week I shared with y'all how God is pruning me in this season a ton, and he's growing me in love. And what does that look like? And he's giving me a ton of practice, by the way. He keeps putting people and things in my path that are... So Rich and I were at the aquarium, and I don't know if you noticed this, but we were in line for this thing, and this lady was super rude to me about this line thing. And I just really wanted to say something back to her, but I was like, dude, you're being tested right now. Don't say anything stupid. Your kids are watching. Like, you don't need to be a jerk. Just practice love. And it was actually really hard for me. But where the areas that Jesus wants you to grow, he's going to put people and circumstances in your life that are gonna force that growth. And hopefully we respond well. Another fruit is that people who don't know Jesus get to know him. Get to know him through your life. As you live your life, you're going to have all these opportunities that people come to believe in him for the first time. Then when they come to know him, you're going to get to baptize them, which is going to be super cool. We've already had someone in the past month from Rich get to baptize someone. Apart from Sunday morning, they told us, like, hey, I got to baptize so-and-so. And we're like, yes, it's happening. They're beginning to lead people to Christ on their own and baptize them, which is super cool. And then you know what Jesus loves to do once people come to know him? He loves to heal them and make them whole. Because we all got a story. We all got so much brokenness in our heart from our family past, from things that have been done to us or we've done to others or just stuff that has happened. But Jesus wants to heal us. And a lot of that comes through forgiveness. Is when we forgive people, we're set free. And we can restore those relationships through forgiveness. And then after that, people become leaders. So you'll begin to notice when we disciple people and then they disciple people, that's when leadership begins to happen. Is when you get plugged into discipleship, they'll come to a point after a period of time, and I've heard this time and time again, Jared, I want to disciple someone. You know what I say? Go find someone. Go disciple someone. And then they go out and they find someone, they start that discipleship relationship, and then they grow in relationship and friendship together, whether it's like one-on-one or in small groups or however it's working out in the context. And then that grows over time, and then those people say, my life has been so transformed by Jesus, I want the same thing for other people. And then they'll start to disciple other people. So, and Richie said this earlier, it's a great insight. We remain in Jesus as we remain together, right? Because we're connected to the vine as the branches. And we work together and we strengthen each other, help us to remain in Jesus. So everything at Enrich is designed to make disciples. At the end of all this, the fruit being produced is we make disciples. That's what Jesus told us to do. He said, go make disciples of all the nations, baptize them and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So everything that we do here, and you notice that I've taken a lot of steps back from the beginning. If you've started here a year ago, a lot more people are taking leadership in different areas. And eventually, I'll make a plug, and I think in like, I don't know how many weeks. In a few weeks, you're going to have other people here giving messages that aren't me. And so you're going to see other leaders being raised up at Enrich. That's the whole goal, is that we make disciples. And what's super scary is if we disconnect from Jesus, man, we're cut off, right? And to me, I'm like, that's so scary, because then we go off and doing our own thing, and he's just like waiting for us to turn, and then we have to handle it on our own. But when we turn to him, He says, I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to give you the path. So you got to make your life count, because this is, we literally got one life. And that's it. And it's so fast. Because I talk to people who are older, you know, in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and they're like, you're still young. And they're like, it goes so fast. And so it goes fast. But you make your life count, because it's worth it. So when you remain in Jesus, he'll remain in you. Look at verse 6. It says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and they're burned. So we got this useless branch right here, right, that I cut off with the shears. This is what happens. Right? Isn't that scary? That's what Jesus says he does. He cuts you off, breaks you, and he throws you into a pile to be burned. And that's like, oh man, that's like one of those things where Jesus, you know, people often think he's like a big teddy bear. He is full of love like a teddy bear, and he's also a consuming fire, right? Yeah. So you have to balance who God is in relationship. I got a whole bunch of this stuff up here. So the idea is don't get burned. What's interesting, and I caught this when I read it this time, did you know all the branches are put into a pile? That means all the branches that are like each other end up together. So like attracts a like. So if you're producing fruit in the kingdom, guess most likely who's going to be around you? Other people producing fruit. But if people are around you, your quality, most quality people that are investing in you, if they're not producing fruit, most likely or potentially you might not be producing fruit either. So it's really interesting that all the branches that were similar were put together. And Jesus says, go make disciples of all the nations. So us bearing fruit is going to probably the branches that are actually dead and bringing those to life, right? Because we carry the resurrection life of Jesus. So anybody, no matter how far someone is, now think of your, in whatever vocation you're in, think of some of the people you've come across that are the farthest from God that you've ever met. Jesus can easily reach those people. And he wants to use you. He wants you to love on them and just build a relationship. Because when they connect with you, guess who they're also connecting with? Jesus. Because if you're connected with Jesus and you're connecting with these people who are far from God and they're connected to your life, what's in Jesus is flowing through you into them. And then they're going to say, hey, why are you so different? And then you're like, let me tell you how Jesus changed my life, because it's him and me. And we were at the aquarium, and there was this guy at the touch pool for the jellyfish. And so I was just like, oh man, here's an opportunity. I had all these thoughts of why I shouldn't do it right. There's just my flesh, because I was like, okay, obviously I'm going to do it now. So I just said, hey bro, like, what got you into working at the aquarium? He just started telling me his story. And then I asked him about some tats on his arms, and he went like really deep about his tats. And I was like, hey man, want to see my tat in my thigh? I showed him my tat, told him my story about my tat. And then we just like went really deep, because he shared about his mom passing away. And I was like, dude, my dad, and we like connected. And then I told him how Jesus changed my life. And I was like, do you want to start a relationship with God today? He's like, yeah. And so right there, like, because it was Jesus in me that he was getting connected to, and he was so hungry, he was ripe. And so he connected with Jesus that day. So as you have Jesus in you, other people are going to want Jesus in you because of who he is. He loves people so much. So where we place our quality time matters. It really matters with what we do. And what's interesting about the fire in this, there's different words for fire, different uses for fire in the scripture. When they're put into a pile and burned, this one is God's judgment. So God's judgment's actually going to come upon those that disconnect, and they're thrown into fire and burn. So think about like at the end of time, where everyone's going to face a judgment, and either we're in Jesus or we're apart from Jesus. And the end time, whether we're in him or not in him, will determine how that judgment goes. Because in Jesus, he takes the judgment for us of God, and it comes upon Jesus at the cross. But apart from Jesus, no one can withstand God's judgment, because it's his wrath. And if Jesus doesn't take that on our behalf, then they'll receive that at the end judgment. And here's the thing, you know, there's a lot of times where I'm like, man, I'm doing really good. I'm like plugged in, I'm like remaining. And then Jesus is like, no, you got all these other things you got to work on. And you know what I found it is? It's pride. I get deceived from my own pride, thinking that I'm doing, you know, I'm 100% in. And Jesus is like, well, Jared, let me give you a couple of dreams. Let me give you a couple of people to tell you how you're messing up. And he says, deeper, deeper still, right? Go deeper. And then he says, lower still, which is humility. So I just want to give us this word of encouragement, just not to be deceived if we think we're where we should be, because Jesus is always inviting us for more of Him and more of a relationship with Him. Are any of y'all familiar with the fruit test? You test the fruit. So if you got bitterness or anger or hatred, unforgiveness, things I talked about last week, that's fruit, right? What you do is you trace that to the root. So whatever fruit you have in your life, you trace that to the root, and you can do your fruit test. And so that's what it is. That'll be help you know what fruit are you producing. And then you could do that fruit test. So look at verses 7 and 8. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. How many of you want your prayers answered all the time? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like most of us, right? The verse literally says how you do it. He says, anything you ask will be granted. Did you notice that how those prayers are answered? He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. So to have your prayers answered every time, remain in Jesus. And when you get your word or His word in your heart, do you know what His word does in your heart? It changes your heart so that you're no longer living for your own will and what you want to do, but God's will becomes your will as His word lives in you and transforms your heart. So I used to pray, and I probably still do, all types of prayers about what I want to do with my life and all these different things. But as I've grown over time and matured, I've learned like, oh, I should be praying what God wants for these people, or praying what God wants in this situation, or doing what God wants me to do. And that just came to that process of learning how to remain in Him more deeply and getting His word in my heart. So that's why it's so important that we read the word and we study the word. So for example, we do the Discovery Bible study every week here. And the reason we did that is because I had heard this stat at this church planning conference that it was a crazy amount. It was like 80 or 90% of Christians, quote unquote, don't actually read their Bibles. And I was like, that's crazy. I was like, we got to solve that. Or like, we're going to start reading the word every week together so that people can learn a really simple way to read the scriptures. Because when you get the word in your heart, it'll transform you. It'll make you into a new person. It'll make you more like Jesus. And so what it comes down to is this. Are you willing to surrender your will in your life for what you want to do? Or are you willing to seek Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you want to do with my life? Where do you want me to work? What do you want me to do after this job or after this season? What is it that you want me to do? And I spoke at this church planning training yesterday, and I shared with them, I've heard so many church planters and pastors that just do something and ask God to bless it. But I don't think it's just church, quote unquote, leadership. I think how many of us will do something and ask God to bless it rather than starting in the place of, God, what do you want me to do? And then doing as the Holy Spirit will show you. So God's will is what will produce much fruit in you and through you. And God wants you to be successful in the kingdom. How many of y'all think God is against you? Anyone? God's not against you. He's for you and He loves you. And He wants you to be successful. God actually wants to open up doors of opportunity for you. God wants you to have impact. God wants you to be promoted. God wants you to get a raise, because when He does that, He's increasing His influence for His glory. Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through 50? Remember, he got thrown into prison, and he was there for quite a while, but God worked some things out in his heart that needed to get worked out so that he could be promoted to rule in Egypt just under Pharaoh, and then God used Joseph to basically sustain everybody during the 7 years of famine, right? So God actually wants to raise you up and influence in different areas of your life, because He's looking for people He can trust that have character, that have integrity, that will do what He wants you to do in those situations. He's looking for those women and those men that will say yes in align with Him. So God is actually for you, and He wants you to be successful. And God wants all the glory. Like when we're doing things, whether we're serving and we're not getting paid, or if we're working a job and getting paid, when the moment we do those things and we're looking to that person to say, hey, give me some cred, right? Look what I did, or I did this, or I showed up and I did all that stuff. Because Jesus says, if you do that, you get your reward from those people. But if we can position our hearts to say, Father, I just want it to be for you, and you want your reward from the Father, He'll reward you. And He'll reward you better than any human can. So turning our hearts to the Father and seeking Him. And having no expectation of return from those people, having no expectation of affirmation from them. And when we can get our hearts there, then we'll know we're in the right spot of being positioned in the Father and looking to Him only and wanting Him to receive all the glory and all the credit. So God wants to reward you. And this is the greatest reward that you can ever receive from God, is His presence. Because when you get in His presence, man, you're so fulfilled. Like, everything else just it fades away. And so He invites you into His presence, and He invites you to receive Him who He is. So God wants you to be fruitful. I ordered these stickers on Amazon, and when I opened them, again, Meredith was like, did you check the size of the stickers before you ordered them? And I said, I thought I did. So they're super small, but you know what's cool? There's 4 on a sheet. And I said, this is fruitfulness, this is multiplication. So it was prophetic and worked out even though I didn't do it. So, Cindy, you want some stickers?
Some grape stickers? All right, go and be fruitful in Jesus' name.
Cool. So we're gonna hand these stickers out. See if you could take one and pass it down. So these grapes, the little stickers, they're symbolic, right? They're simply a symbol of Jesus saying, hey, remain in me so I can have that deep relationship with you, that connection with you, and I want you to be fruitful. He wants you to have His joy. He wants you to have His love. Because when you rub off on people with joy and love, they're going to be like, what do you got? You know, let me tell you. So Jesus says, be fruitful. And we do this by remaining in Him, getting His word in our heart. I'll share this too. This comes to mind. I know some of y'all commute for different places when you drive and stuff. You throw on an audio Bible because you can get the word in your heart by listening to it when you drive. You fill those spaces. Do they smell? Do they smell like grapes? No, okay. I didn't know they had the scratch and sniff ones. I saw people smelling them. That's so funny.
They don't taste like grapes either.
Yeah, okay. Rick says, yeah, don't eat them. They don't taste like grapes. I don't know if they're organic. So you can get the word in your heart in different ways. And so you can do it through an audio Bible too. So these stickers. And what you can do too is, you know, it says like, who are you going to share with this week? You can take the sticker with you somewhere and you can give it to someone and say, hey, let me tell you about this sticker. And then you could share with them about the sticker. So that's the way you can also start spreading the word about Jesus in your life. Because most people like stickers, right? Yeah. Richie's like, I don't know, but but most people do. So use it as a way to bridge a connection with someone. And what's cool today is the fourth Sunday is usually our communion Sunday. And this is a time when we get to remember, like, what's this all about? And how can we gather in Jesus' name and remain in Him and be in Him? So our friend Anthony is going to come up and he's going to talk about communion with us. And then as he sets us up with that, we'll have our communion service come up in just a moment. And we'll do that together.
All right, yeah, so like Jared said, we're gonna take communion. So just a little overview, like what is communion, you know, if it's new. We're gonna eat some bread, we're gonna drink some grape juice. And this is a symbol of what Jesus did for us on the cross, right? The bread symbolizes His body broken. The juice symbolizes His blood spilled out. And so as we're kind of setting up, getting ready, just go ahead and take a moment, you know, in your own hearts just to get right before the Lord, you know, think in your mind about what He did. It says in the Word that when we take communion, we remember what Jesus did. And it's more than just thinking back to a past event. It's actually remembering, putting back together what happened and bringing it into the present moment. And there's power in communion. Jesus says, you know, this is my body. This is my blood. And His body and His blood, they have the power to heal. They have the power to save and restore us. And so as you take it, just honor it. Remember what Jesus did. And hey, there's power in honoring the communion elements as we take them. So I'm just going to pray for us and we'll just get our hearts before the Lord. So Jesus, we just thank You again this morning for Your sacrifice, that You are a God of love. You loved us so much that You came and died in order that we could live. And that's how humble You are. That's how good You are. And so Lord, we just come before you and again thank you for your sacrifice. We don't take it lightly, but we are deeply grateful, Lord, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name. So they're going to, I don't know, if you guys want to come on up, or I don't know if you pass them around, or however the best way, get these through what we do, but through you and your life and your sacrifice on the cross for us. So we thank you, and we choose, like Jared said today, to live in that, to abide with you, as you're the only way. So we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, after we're going to have some of our prayer team available, if you want prayer today, please get prayer. Even if you're like, I don't really have anything going on, but just come get prayer. People will bless you and encourage you this week. Or if you have some stuff that you just want to get off your heart with our prayer team, they'd love to pray with you. What we're going to do is we're going to do a quick breakdown today because we're going to go to Kava afterwards. We'd love to have you come out. So Kava is going to be across the street from APU. It's the only one in Azusa, so if you Google Kava in Azusa, you'll find it. We'll just hang out, we'll buy your own food, and then we'll just hang out. I think there's inside seating. Yes, there is. Okay, so it's air conditioning. But it's actually pretty nice today. It wasn't as crazy as I thought it would be in terms of the heat. So let me pray over everyone for a weekly blessing, and then we'll head out of here. Jesus, we're super grateful. Thanks for this morning that we can gather to seek you and come together in your presence. Jesus, I ask that you would release grace right now to everybody here to remain in you. That each person would come to know how deeply you love them unconditionally. And that it isn't based upon what they do or don't do to receive your love, but it's a free gift. And they just have to receive it. And that they know how deeply loved they are by you, Jesus. And from that place of being loved, they would just love to sit at your feet as a daughter and son of the Heavenly Father and just be in relationship with you and be in your presence. So would you increase everyone's hunger for your presence, for being with you and reading your word and worshiping you and remaining in community of others who will strengthen them and build them up and encourage them. So Jesus, would you cause us to be very fruitful and that fruit would remain, that we would all make disciples who will make disciples who make disciples. Would you cause us to be fruitful in our vocations? Just wherever you've placed us, whether we're at home with our kids or we're in the workplace or we're somewhere in between, Jesus, would we be deeply fruitful for you, for your kingdom, and for the glory of the Father? And so, Jesus, I pray that you would give everybody success in their careers so that you can elevate them to positions of influence because they're people of character and integrity who will do what you want and bring all the glory to you, Father. Father, we ask this week as we go that you would keep us from temptation, that you would deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Jesus, that we're under your blood, that we're protected. I pray that you continue to bring increased freedom, healing and wholeness and deliverance to everybody here, that you would break Satan's bondages off of people's lives, and that you bring greater increased freedom. So Jesus, thank you that you're going before us this week, and I ask that you bless everybody here in Jesus' name. Amen.